Okay, so welcome again. Our friends from Gear Up are in the back. They brought some cookies for a while, so thank them when you see them. And they're here to hear about our final contest too, because we're going to have a couple guys competing that are part of that program as well. So a few business points before we get started. You have a homework due on Friday. Right, it's been posted since the beginning of semester. It's a pretty easy one. Watch two other teams' presentation videos and put a substantive comment in Vimeo. Then email me letting me know what two teams you commented on. The PDF is on the website. Again, been there since January about how to exactly format that submission to me. Okay, but so let's do it by 5 p.m. on Friday. So spend a little time looking at other teams' videos. Try to leave constructive comments. This is a good presentation. It's not really a constructive comment. Like, ask questions about the design, mention something about, you know, give some real feedback, in other words, is the idea there. Okay, so we have that. And then on Thursday this week, we're going to start. We're going to get the intro to our programming exercises. You don't need to bring your kits yet, though. So on Thursday, we're going to talk kind of the high-level setup of all the tools we're going to use, introduction to kind of the workflow we're going to work with. So I think on Thursday, I'm going to ask that you really pay a lot of attention, even if you're normally sleeping in here, because it's going to really lay the foundation for the next couple weeks. And if you don't understand what we talk about on Thursday, if you miss that, then it's going to make your final project way harder. So we want to make sure that you guys get that information we're going to talk through on Thursday. And then I'll send an email reminder since it'll be after break, but our first lecture after break, after Mardi Gras, you can bring your kits and we will start talking through the actual plugging the board in and stuff like that. So I'll set a reminder to remind me to remind you to bring your kits, and if you have laptops, bring them along too. Yes, sir?
Is there something we need to download before we do the...
We'll talk about that on Thursday. So that's what I mean. We're kind of walk through how to get your tools set up, and then I'll ask you guys to have that part done by the next week, while we come back that Thursday. Everything's free, open source, so works out pretty well. And all the tools we use are available, Mac, Windows, and Linux. So whatever kind of computer you got should be covered. Okay, any other questions? Okay, so today we are talking about our final project. I posted the teams a little while ago because hopefully we'll have a little bit of time at the end for you to at least meet your teammates for this final project. This will be your last team for the semester. So you'll be in this team for the remainder of the semester and stay in the same team for the entire final project. Okay. So I want to give you, I'd like to give a little bit of history about where this contest comes from, how it's evolved over time. Provide some context for you guys so that you know when you're looking at maybe older pictures, you know, we have all those old Flickr albums linked on the class website. You can look at and see how people have done different things. You'll have some context for those. Okay. The first thing we did something like this was actually in fall 2013, which is a little while ago now, was actually a senior level technical elective we ran. And it was more focused on the robotics side of things than the design. Right? And like you'll see, today, each one of these contests, we have a theme, effectively. So their theme that semester was the master plan. It's kind of how UL is going to go into the next couple decades, right? So I think maybe I've shown you guys this before, but I'll spend a little bit of time letting you see at least the beginning of it. You probably recognize at least one person in this video. Actually, probably at least two people in this video. So what you guys are seeing, right, we had just, you probably have seen some pictures of the track now. We have four-sided tracks. We have much smaller class in that time, and even the first section of Mekki 201 itself, right? So there were six or seven teams there. You guys have 17. And we've had as many as 30 in 201 here, okay? Teams of three each. So they had to purchase the complete contents of the kit to build their device, right? So they purchased something similar to the kit you bought, but anything extra they needed to get and use, they had to purchase themselves as well. So we've evolved a little bit since then, as you'll see, moving forward. Okay, so we did the Lafayette Master Plan, or the UL Lafayette Master Plan. Then the first section of Mekki 201, our theme was actually Plan Lafayette, which is entire Lafayette, kind of long-term planning, right? So that was our theme this particular semester. This first semester, we had 18 students in the class. So we had six teams only. Things got a little bit bigger. Right? So we went with James Bond. We actually moved the contest. This was the first semester. We had four sides to the track. Moved the contest over to Oliver Hall, CACS over there. And you see we have the center section that we've had kind of until the date, but not doing any kind of fancy rotation yet. Spring 2016, the contest was actually the same week as festival, so our theme made sense to have it as festival. So again, we were in Oliver Hall, things a little bit different, the track layout's a little bit different. At this point, our kit is starting to really mature. The kit that of components that you guys are going to get has grown since the very first semester. Every semester, we've added new stuff to that kit to where you have a pretty substantial kit of components we're going to give each final project team for use in during the final project. And that'll be true again this semester. You're getting components this semester that past teams have not. We did Robot X, which was that kind of boat contest that I took some of our students to in December 2016. So we had the Mechie 201 contest have that similar theme. Actually had it in the parking garage. And then spring 2017, we moved over to Blackham Coliseum. So we've been over there every semester since, and we'll be there again this semester. Fall 2017, I think, was our biggest section. That's the set time we had 93 students run through this class, which is a lot. So we did Star Wars. Last spring, we did Black Panther. And in the fall, we did Indiana Jones. All right. So just to give you an idea of what the contest kind of atmosphere is going to look like when you get over there. Again, I think I showed this to you guys on the first day of class, but we'll see it again. So this includes the entire setup of the entire contest. Get a lot of help from my research students. This wouldn't really happen without them helping us. So you see where I have two tracks set up at Blackham Coliseum. And there will be easels around, one for each of you guys. Right. The first hour of the contest is actually a design judging. We'll talk more about it in detail in a bit. Local companies will come, faculty and staff, your family and friends are going to be invited. Past students tend to come to the contest to harass you guys, tell you how much harder their class was when they took it. So you see teams are setting up now for the judging. So that first hour from 5 to 6 p.m., basically we walk around and judge your devices. Then at 6:15, the actual kind of robotics competition starts. We have run traditionally double elimination, pure double elimination tournament. Looks like we'll probably end up doing the same thing this semester. And basically, once the contest starts, one of the tracks will be running every 4 minutes until we're finished. So with the number of teams, with 17 teams, 18 teams, we should finish 7:45-ish, I think. So it was final round, and then you get to see the cleanup. Okay. So you see we've cycled through some themes. I think we have a pretty nice setup over at Blackham Coliseum. So this semester, we are going to do this guy. The Kentucky Derby this year falls the weekend after our final contest. So the timing, I think, works out pretty well for that. And it'll give you guys a chance to wear some cool hats. Okay. So our theme this semester is the Kentucky Derby. Okay. To compete in the Kentucky Derby, your robot is going to need to be able to complete training runs. You've got no chance of winning or even making it to the race if you're not training properly. You're going to need to fuel that training. So you're going to collect carrots from your horse. You might also want some lucky horseshoes. To win, you're certainly going to have to finish strong down the home stretch. Okay. You actually want your jockeys from your stable to go to Churchill Downs and You guys don't know, the tradition there is to get kind of this blanket of roses the winners get. So you're going to collect the winner's roses. Okay, so your robot's going to have to do this series of tasks. And we'll talk what they really mean in the, just as we continue throughout today. So our track, as you saw a little bit in that video, looks something like this. Okay, let's talk about specifically how that pertains to each one of your devices. When you enter for every round of the contest, you're going to get assigned a, what we call the team zone. Or the home zone sometimes. That's basically one of these triangles. Okay? So you might have red. That's your team zone. Okay? Every team also has a starting zone associated with it, okay, on the outside. Okay? The start zone is not considered part of the team zone. On this kind of general layout, this is how our parts are going to sit. And we'll talk more about what those parts really are, what those components of this track are. You'll see that we have this center section that kind of cuts off the top part of your triangle. So your home zone actually ends at the outer edge of that. Okay, so you get the entire colored section of your quarter of this square. That middle section is also spinning, which I think makes things a bit more interesting for us. We'll talk exactly what that is going to mean for your device as we move on. So questions just about the general track layout. We'll talk more specifics about what the components are and stuff like that, but what your home zone is, what's defining your home zone, the start zone is. Inside each zone, yeah, go ahead. So the question was, can I go outside my zone? Yes, you can. You can't project anything more than 3 feet outside the track. It's at our discretion to determine whether that's dangerous or not and perhaps disqualify you for that. And we don't make any guarantees on what's going to be on the floor out here. So the track's actually elevated. So you can go outside the track. It'll be a little bit hard to do that. But you can enter other team zones, and in fact, you might want to do that, depending on your strategy going forward. There's also, each zone also has this stable. I should mention that. It counts as part of your home zone for all tasks that require kind of home zone things, but also has special meaning for some other tasks. Okay. Any of these zones, unless it's otherwise specified in the rule, mean the zone, the footprint of the zone, and the volume of air directly above it. So, for example, you imagine your start zone has walls out to infinity. Your device has to start within the start zone. So that means that not just that its footprint is there, but it's completely contained within those walls out to infinity. Okay, like same thing with your home zone. Just imagine these walls out to infinity. So if something has to be completely in your home zone, it can be in the air above your zone and still be in your zone. Okay, unless explicitly said otherwise. And there's really only one place that comes up. Any other questions about the general layout? Yes, sir.
How big is the start zone?
We'll get to dimensions in a minute. Start zone is 2x2. So I'll give you an idea of scale. I potentially left it off for now. These are 2x2, and this dimension is 4 feet. And I should mention as well, these component sizes are not necessarily to scale. So horseshoes and carrots and things for now. So let's kind of start with perhaps the easiest task you have to do, and the first one you probably should concern yourself with. That's completing training runs. Okay? So in front of the stable, in your team zone, your home zone, are two small cones, plastic cones. Like you might use at football or soccer practice or something. So, there's two right at the edge of your zone. Each kind of corner of your stable. Okay. If you don't complete training by completely removing that cone from your home zone, you get penalized 15 points for each one. Okay. So if you don't do anything with these cones, these training cones right now, you got minus 30. Starting out. Okay? So, again, to complete the training, you have to get this cone completely out of your zone somewhere. Okay? Whether you push it into another team zone, push it off the track, somehow get it into the center. That's fine, too. It just can't be in your team's home zone. If even a single molecule of this training cone is in your zone still, you're going to get penalized points for it. It has to be completely removed. And we mean completely, completely. Yes, sir?
What happens if another team pushes your zone?
So what happens if another team pushes a cone into my zone? What matters is where the cone ends up at the end of the trial. Okay, so it can go wherever it wants. We're going to score it where it was at the end. Okay. So what happens then? Let me ask you guys a question. If this cone is on the divider between, right on the division between the two lines, both teams get penalized. Okay? So, single molecule of a training cone is in your zone, doesn't matter where it came from. At the end of the trial, you get penalized 15 points. Yes, sir? So, the question was, what if I get it in my start zone? Is the start zone part of your team zone? No. So you can bring it back in your start zone if you want. It has to be out of your team's home zone. Yes, sir?
So if other teams come and push cones into your area, you get penalized as well.
That's right. Doesn't matter where the cone came from.
It doesn't necessarily have to be your cone.
That's right. Any cone that's in your zone can be negative points. $15 per cone. You got to train. You got to put in the work if you want to make it to the Kentucky Derby. Other questions about that one? Okay. To fuel all this training you're going to be doing, there are 5 carrots in each zone. And these are small, little spongy carrot, toy carrot things, not actual carrots. There are 5 of them there, and lined up nominally in a line, but we're not guaranteeing what orientation they're going to be. And we're not guaranteeing the exact position of these carrots. Again, they're going to be nominally in a line at the edge of Churchill Downs, where you go, but the exact position is not specified. Exact orientation is not specified. Okay. For each one of these carrots that you were able to bring back completely into the stable, you get 5 points. Okay. And again, that means every single molecule of this carrot has to get back into your stable. Okay. And remember that zone, that stable zone, contains the air above it as well. So if you were able to reach out, grab a carrot and hold it up here above the stable, and it's still in the volume of air directly above the stable, that still counts as in the stable.
Okay.
The stable counts as part of the home zone unless otherwise specified. So if you brought, I think you're asking, if I brought a training cone back into the stable, in that case, it's still part of your home zone. Right? So it only has special meaning right now for the carrots, has additional meaning beyond being part of the home zone. There's one way to think about that. Yes, sir? Can you get more than 5 carrots? Sure. So as you saw, hey, my neighbors have carrots too. All right. So if you're able to reach around and steal your neighbor's carrots, you can get those points as well. Yes, sir?
So again, this is all said and done when everything stops.
When everything stops. That's right. This one's fairly straightforward. Other questions about carrots? Okay. So, you might have noticed on the edge of the zones, 2 lucky horseshoes. And these are kind of plastic little kid horseshoes, not legit playing for real type horseshoes. Okay. So they're on the edge of the zone. There's one on each edge. Okay. And if you collect a lucky horseshoe completely into your zone, they get 15 points. So there's some kind of balance for you there between trying to get the horseshoe, trying to get the cone out and the horseshoe in. Okay. So in the configuration shown here, how many points are going to be awarded for horseshoes? None. No, I think even ignore the cones. How many points are going to be awarded for horseshoes? None. It has to be completely in your home zone. Right. So right now they're on the edge. It's not completely in either zone. Neither team will get points for those horseshoes. Okay. So you have to get those completely in your zone. So I think that's a trade-off for you. Hey, I could try to push the training cone over to my neighbor, but I could also kick him a horseshoe by mistake if I'm trying to do that. So that's something you're going to have to work through and think through. Yes?
The horseshoes will be around in that spot right there that's shown more?
Yeah, about that, yeah. Okay. We'll have dimensions. The full PDF has dimensions, and we'll flash the dimensions up a little bit later as well. And, of course, the track will be available. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Track will be available. We've traditionally done 15 to 18 hours a week of open lab time for you guys to come practice. So we'll have the same. The horseshoe questions. Okay. So if you've done your training and eaten healthy, got some good carrots, and a little bit lucky, you might be able to send your horse to Churchill Downs for the Kentucky Derby. At the beginning of each trial, every team's going to be given three jockeys, which are Lego minifigures. Okay, they're going to be sitting on your starter zone waiting for you when your trial starts. You get to pick them up, put them in your device, and your goal then is to deliver them to Churchill Downs. So you would get 5 points for each one of those placed completely in Churchill Downs. Okay. And again, completely means completely. Every single molecule has to be inside. Okay. However, if your jockey makes it to the winner's circle, you get 15 points. So you can take your Lego minifigure. Remember, this guy's rotating. And there's a slot right here that defines the winner's circle. If you get your jockey, for each jockey you're able to get into that slot, you're going to get 15 points. Okay. A few details here. All right. For the winner's circle, the vertical dimension matters too. Okay. So the winner's circle, that slot, is the one place where the air above it doesn't count as part of the zone. You actually have to get the jockey into the winner's circle in the vertical dimension as well. Okay. If you don't get into the vertical dimension, right, you don't get these points. But if you're here, you're still contained in Churchill Downs, so you get those points. Everybody follow that? Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah. We have a 3D printed little structure there that hold things. So you get 5 points. If you drop a jockey somewhere, Churchill Downs, you get plus 15 if you make it into the slot, which again is rotating. The approximate dimensions, looking kind of a front view of that, about 2 feet wide, about 6 inches high for the Churchill Downs. Then the infield of Churchill Downs, of the winner's circle is inside, on top of, is 12 inches and a little bit higher. Questions about that one? Okay. Probably have seen there are also four winner's roses just on top of the infield, Churchill Downs. Okay. You want those, right? You won if you got those. So each one of those, and these are kind of cloth roses. I'll put the Amazon link in the FAQs. Each one of those that you're able to collect from the infield and bring back into your team zone completely, you get 50 points. So you can reach out, get one of these things somehow, and bring it into your team zone, right? And remember the air above it. You get 50 points for each one. So there's a lot of points out there for winning the Kentucky Derby. Questions about that one?
Are the minifigurines like team specific?
Yes, they're color coded. So the question was, hey, the jockeys, are they, how do I know which ones are which, basically, when you put them in there? They are color coded according to zone. Other questions about this one? Okay. And this is a little bit out of order from our race analogy, but makes sense in terms of the contest. Finishing strong down the home stretch. So we're going to say, hey, I have to finish this race strong and I'm probably going to win it, right? In terms of our contest, that means that if you're able to go do stuff and then get your robot completely back out of your home zone, we're saying you're finishing strong down the home stretch, you get an additional 15 points. Okay. Note that we have a rule in the full rule set that says, if you don't play, you can't win. So your device actually has to move and do something in order to qualify for these points. Okay, so just sitting there doing nothing, you don't get these points. You actually get disqualified for not moving. Yes, sir?
Can it be stationary but still collect things?
Yes. Okay. So motion, any kind of motion. Okay. Yeah. It just can't do nothing and expect to gain these points. Because that's not really finishing strong down the home stretch. Yes, sir.
There's going to be a specific order, like you have to do this first, this second, this third, or it's all kind of a free-for-all.
So the question was, is there any particular order you need to do these things? No. That's completely up to you and your team. Okay. In the final contest, of course, you're competing against three other teams at a time. So keep that in mind when you're deciding how fast you need to move, et cetera. The question, yes, sir.
Does your robot have to be, or can your robot be in someone else's team zone?
So, in the context of these points? So, the question was, in the context of these finish strong down the home stretch points, could your robot be in someone else's zone? Sure, it's out of your zone in that case. And we do mean, like most things, every single molecule of your device outside of your zone. So, if you were able to drive over here, and all your cables were also kind of routed around the thing somehow outside, and you didn't have a single molecule of your device in your home zone, then, yeah, you qualify for these points. Other questions about this one? Yes, sir.
What if, like, part of your robot, like, say you throw a net or something,
sure.
Does that count as well?
That's a good question. So the question is, hey, if I throw something out or something breaks off my robot, even, and it gets left in your home zone, then, yeah, there's a molecule of your device still in your home zone. Don't qualify for these points any longer. Okay? However, if you break something off and it breaks and falls into someone else's zone, it's not in your zone anymore, or you throw something in the middle and it stays inside Churchill Downs or stays outside of your zone, then you're still outside your zone. You still have it, still can get these points. Start zone or someone else's zone or over here is fine too. Yeah. Yes?
Can you go after the other team's robots?
Question was, can I go after the other team's robots? That's a valid question. You'll see in a few slides, actually, intentionally damaging someone else's robot is prohibited. But if you are interacting with other teams here, or blocking teams from getting stuff in the middle or something like that, that's fine. You just can't reach out and drop a sledgehammer on the other team. Okay. So, yeah, particularly when we get to the later rounds of this, later in the semester, you'll be competing against other teams. Guarantee someone will break someone else's machine by accident, probably, hopefully. All right. We have to DQ you if it's not by accident, but you can't intentionally do it. Right? It's not battle bots, in other words. Maybe. Seems kind of expensive to just destroy stuff, though. Okay. So you guys got a good feel for what the rules, high, at the high level at least, what the rules look like, how you can score points. Okay. Let's talk about how we're going to help you get up and how you get up to speed and develop your device for the final contest. Okay, we're not just going to throw everything at you at once. Okay. We're going to have what we call the individual contest. Right. And this one's actually not too far away. It's on Tuesday, March 19th. Okay. And we call it the individual contest because every one of you is going to build something to compete in this contest. Okay. However, it's a mechanical-only design, okay, and you only have to complete the training runs. Okay. Design a mechanical-only thing that gets those cones out of your zone. Okay. So only those training cones will be set up, actually, and then we'll kind of invert the points, right, so that the winner actually has a positive number of points rather than just zero. So for each cone you move out of your zone, you're going to get a plus 10 for just the individual contest. Okay, one sec. You're going to compete. Well, let's put it this way. You have 3 minutes of time to run your device at most two times. Okay. The winner of this contest will be this person with the maximum total score. So in other words, you want to be able to run twice if you can. Question.
So this is an individual. Where do the points go? Does it go like towards your team or?
So probably asking about these points. If you remember from your syllabus, there are 15 points of your grade, of the 100 points you might have for your grade. 15% of your grade is another way to think about it. Okay. One of those 15 robot performance points comes from your performance, your design's performance in this contest, for in terms of your grade. Okay. So not going to hurt you a lot if you don't do a good job. We're going to shame you and make fun of you. But it's not going to damage your grade too much. Okay? Let's talk for a minute about this 3-minute time, because I think it will frame our discussion on subsequent client contests. Okay? That 3 minutes, we're going to tell you, we have a prescribed schedule that we typically stay on pretty well. Okay? At, hey, you start at 5:05 by that clock there. At 5:05, until 5:05, you have to stay out of the zone. The device can't be set down on the track. Can't interact with the track in any way. 5:05, okay, take the track. 5:05, your 3 minute starts. You have to set your device up and then get your two runs in the next 3 minutes. Okay. So when we talk about getting runs in, particularly these kind of preliminary type contests, this time includes your setup. And there's also a special step in that setup we'll talk more about in a little while. Yes, sir?
What is mechanical only?
Mechanical only means you're not using your electronics. So you have gravity at your disposal, for example. Pretty reliable. Okay. You cannot use stored potential energy other than gravity. So you can't have a mousetrap or something. So, some other things with this, and again, there's a lot more details in the PDF handout that'll go up after class today, right? Is that you can't personally impart any significant energy to this device. So you can't go up there and throw something onto the track. Right? So the device has to sit there in a stable equilibrium condition. It's going to sit there, and if it sits there, it's sitting there forever. Stable equilibrium. And then what you can do is untie a bow or cut a string or pull a pin, something like that, to trigger the device. Okay. Again, gravity is your friend in terms of this contest. Can have no stored spring potential energy for this contest or any other. I think you guys will probably seems a bit daunting right now. I think you'll come up with a lot of ideas. Students usually do. Okay. So you can look through past semesters and see what people have done. Learn and see the lay of the land of your market. Yes?
So we're not going to be working with our teams at all for this.
Okay. So the question was, for the individual contest, hey, I got these final project teams. Why am I not working with these guys or girls? In fact, I would recommend you probably do. Okay. You just each have to have a device, and your grade gets assigned to you individually. Okay. And I think that ties on to my general advice for this contest. I think a really big mistake is, one, to not use the design tools at all. Okay. And two, the other major mistake I see teams make, and makes this class way, way, way more work than it is or needs to be, is to not think beyond the next contest. You'll see we have a couple more coming up. So we have this contest, there's a preliminary, qualifying, and the final. Okay. If you think only one contest at a time, what's going to happen is you're rebuilding from scratch every week, every couple weeks. It's not every week, it's every couple weeks. Okay. That's way more work than thinking about and going through our design process, what the final design needs to be, and working towards that the whole time. And letting the preliminary contest be just milestones in that development. So we'll talk more about that moving forward as well. Yes, sir. So for this contest, yeah, I got yours. So this contest, you will be not necessarily the only one on the track, but if someone's, depending on the timing we have, I haven't worked it out yet, there may be someone across from you. But basically, you're kind of by yourself. And what we will do is, even if there's two people on the track at the same time, they'll be across from one another, and we'll stagger your run so that you don't interfere with one another in any way.
So you're only going to have to get off like two cones, right?
Well, there's two cones there per trial, yeah. So at most, you can get two cones per trial. So a perfect score here is 40 points. Yeah. Yes, sir?
So each team has to build three individual devices?
Yeah.
So you're emphasizing that one of them would become...
Well, maybe you have three ideas for how we can easily clear out the cones. And among your team, you could work out, hey, let's build each subsystem prototype is effectively what you're doing. And let's test all three in competition. Other individual contest questions? Okay. A little while later, a few weeks later, Tuesday, April 2nd, we're going to have what we call a preliminary contest. This will have, like we just discussed, nominally only one team running at a time. There may be someone across the track from you, but we'll stagger exactly when you run to make sure you're not interfering with one another. So you're nominally by yourself on the track. You're going to get three runs in a five-minute time frame this time. Okay, and again, that 5 minutes, you have to stay completely off the track until your time starts. Sorry, 5:10. Okay, now you can enter and start setting up your device. And your clock is running for the runs. Okay. We'll again only do a subset of the tasks. We're trying to help you build up to the full complement of tasks. Okay. You'll again complete the training runs. Hopefully you've had that figured out and some more knowledge about that from the individual contest. Okay. You can get points for collecting carrots and collecting the winner's roses. Okay. So the training runs in this preliminary contest go back to being negative points just like the full rule set. Okay. This one is as a team. It does need to be electronically triggered from our track. We'll learn, start learning more, way more about that on Thursday, right? How to do that. Okay. And this contest accounts for three of those 15 points available to you for your robot performance throughout the semester. Okay. Questions about the preliminary contest? Yes, sir.
So all the points are the same as the final?
Yes. So for all these preliminary contests, individual preliminary qualifying, the points are as they're written in the full rule set, unless specified otherwise. Okay. So here, what's different is the timing of the runs, and only one team at a time is going. Everything else applies. Yes, sir?
So now the training run can be done electronically instead of specifically done by gravity?
That's right. So here, we're starting to build towards a mechatronic device. Right. So this needs to be a mechatronic, electronic device. You'll have your full kit by then. You'll have some skills on how to program to run motors and things like that as well. So this is kind of the first test of those skills for your design. Okay. Yes.
Will we still be able to use things powered by gravity and just set it up? Yeah.
So the question was, hey, can we still use gravity? That seemed pretty good, that gravity thing. Yeah, you should use gravity. But it has to be triggered electronically, though. Right? So you can't go up and pull a pin or anything any longer. Our track, we'll talk, again, in way more detail on that in this moving forward, has basically a plug you can plug into that you need to sense when the switch closes using that plug. It's actually trivially easy to do that. Since when it starts, we start all four zones at the same time with a master switch. It closes all four of those. Your device senses that, and then it knows it's time to go. Right, and again, we'll teach you how to do that. Yes? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So the question was, do we have practice times? We call them open lab hours. We'll have open lab hours leading into the individual contest even. And what we'll do is, what we've done historically is get kind of a poll from you guys, what times you would like us to be open. We'll compare that to when we actually can be here. And then we'll match up and try to fill the hours that you guys say you can be here or will be here as closely as we can. Okay, so look for emails about that moving forward as well. And those have traditionally included sometimes on the weekend. Other preliminary competition questions? Okay. Starting with the preliminary contest, the full track will be set up, even though all the points are not available. So completing the training runs, you could now run into a horseshoe, even though you can't get points for it. After the preliminary competition, we have a little bit of time, 9 days, to do the qualifying round. Qualifying round is the full contest rules. Okay. So full rules, you're competing against other people for the first time for credit. Okay. We'll use it to determine seeding for the final contest. Okay. So given we have kind of an odd number of teams, some of you will probably get a bye in the first round if you do well in the qualifying. What we'll do is basically that day, we'll be here and we'll just run in the lab downstairs until we have a clear ranking or we run out of time, one or the other. Right. Everyone will run at least twice, and then we'll go from there based on what ranking we have so far. Okay. And the qualifying round is worth the same as the preliminary. So 3 of those 15 robot performance points come from the qualifying round. Yes, sir. So the question was, can I change anything from qualifying to final? Yes, you can, and I would strongly recommend that you do. In fact, that period of time is when we traditionally see the greatest improvement in designs. Because the qualifying, you get to this point, you see the full contest, and then that changes and clarifies a lot for people at that time. Okay. The question is about qualifying. I think that's especially going to be true this semester because how the timing works out. There's actually 2 full weeks between qualifying and final. And one of those happens to be spring break, but there's 2 full weeks. Okay. It's going to be Thursday, the 25th, over at the Coliseum. As I mentioned, there's a design review that starts at 5 o'clock. Okay. So we'll give you easels. We'll talk in great detail a little bit later about what you have there. So basically, short, 5-ish, 3 to 5 minute presentation of your device to judges that are coming around. Then we'll start the robotics portion of that contest at 6:15. And we have done traditionally pretty good on our schedule. Right, we've stuck to it within a few minutes most semesters. And right on it quite often as well. And of course, we invite a bunch of people to come. We'll ask you to invite your family and friends, or offer for you to be able to invite your family and friends. I invite pretty much all the companies I've done research with around town, things like that. Our university president has been, the provost has been past semesters, folks from the dean's office come, so it's a pretty well-attended event. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about that design review. That design review is kind of a science fair-style presentation. Again, you have 3 to 5 minutes to explain your design to someone. And again, it could be faculty, staff, It could be graduate students. We invite our graduate students to come over and evaluate as well. Invite local robotics clubs, and then could have our industry guests that come to this thing. Okay. So within that, we talk about technical communication being critically important to the design process. You can look at this list and see there's a pretty wide range of technical skill and interest. So you need to be able to talk about your design at varying levels, which is important to be able to do as well. Those judges are going to judge you on your device's aesthetics. Right? Does it actually look nice? Okay. Your design's ingenuity. Are you doing clever things with your design? And then actually, how well did you present to that particular judge? They judge you on that as well. So the judges are instructed to judge you 0 to 10 on those three categories. Okay. And actually, 5 of your grade points come from this judging. And that final competition day. And then our robotics contest starts at 6:15. Again, we'll run double elimination. We'll be running one track every 4 minutes until we finish. And of course, all the contest rules are in effect then. Okay. And then 8 of the total 15 robot performance points are available in that final contest. Questions about how that final day will shake out? Sure there will be as we get there. We won't have lecture that day. Doesn't make a lot of sense to do that. So we'll get you guys just to meet us over there. We start setting up around 2:30. You guys wouldn't need to get there until 4:45 probably. A few more details. And there's tons and tons more details in the PDF that will go up after class today. Okay. So, as you've probably guessed, we're going to learn how to program stuff, so this is not a remotely controlled device. You're going to need to write the code for it to operate autonomously. Okay. You can use one Pi board, so that's the microcontroller you guys have in your kit. You have 3 kits worth of sensors and components and things like that in your kit, because you have 3 people. Right? So you can use components from those 3 kits. Right? So each of your kits has a servo motor, for example. So your final design can use at most 3 servo motors. Okay. You can use gravity. Right. And then we're going to give you a kit of components. Again, it's expanding a little bit further even this semester than in past to use for your final device. Okay. As I mentioned, you're going to need to sense the start signal, which operates just like a push button switch. So that would be one of the first things we learn how to do with the Pi board in your kit is to read a button. Your start signal works just like that. Code is identical. Okay. Then you and your team can spend up to $100 on additional sensors or building materials. Okay. Unfortunately, I don't have this to give to you. Okay. Keep in mind, though, that your device doesn't need to be expensive. I think most teams don't come anywhere close to spending that much on their final design. This cost is what it would take to build the final version of your design. Okay. What would it cost some random person off the street to build your final design? Okay. And that, you know, excludes these components, because that's way more than $100 of stuff. One sec. So that is, again, kind of random person off the street cost. So if your uncle owns a machine shop and works in titanium, right. You can't get a free titanium frame welded up and done and machined for you, because it wouldn't cost an average person off the street $0 to get that done. Okay. If you have 3D printer, for example, you can use 3D printer, but you have to charge for the materials on your printer. Right. So pretty much every 3D printing program will tell you this print is going to take N grams of material. Well, you can get the cost of per gram and include that in your design. What's that? These are prorated as well. So if you buy an 8-foot 2x4 and use a foot of it, you can charge the 1/8 of the cost of the full 2x4. Okay. You had a question first.
Yeah,
I answered it. Can you use scrap metal? So okay, I'll ask more generally. Can I use random scraps? Yes. You have to charge though for what the cost would be for some random person. So if it's truly a public scrapyard and anybody on the street can walk up and get it, and you can demonstrate that and support that in your design, then, yeah, you can say it's free. If it's scraps in your uncle's titanium machine shop, that's something different. Right. Yes?
Is it going to be presented in like a cost report
style? Yeah, so we'll have, part of your final report, we'll be submitting this. But we're pretty good at recognizing designs that are even getting close to this. We've seen them. We've seen enough of them. Anything else? Questions here? One more thing on this slide. You have to start within that starting zone, which makes sense, right? That's why it's called the starting zone. Your device also have to have fit within a volume of 12 by 24 by 18, where 18 is the height. Okay, so you're size constrained as well on your device. To check that size, what we do is we have these boxes that are 12 by 24 by 18 interior dimensions. Cut on the water jet downstairs, they're pretty precise. Okay. Prior to the run of your design, within your time of startup and setup and run, you have to put the box over your device to prove that it fits those dimensions. So this is part of the setup procedure always. Okay. After you have boxed your device to prove that it meets the size requirements, you can't make any adjustments. So for example, you can't fold everything up, box it, and then unfold a bunch of stuff and expect to be able to run. Okay. Once you box, all you can do is move the device as a rigid body. Everything has to move the same amount. Right. You can rotate, translate as a rigid body, then back away. Yes, sir?
Is the boxing process for the individual contest and prelims also?
So the box, hey, do we box during individual and prelims? Yes, you do. For individual and prelims, we'll ask you to box definitely for the first run, and then reserve the right to ask you to rebox after that. And we'll be very clear whether we want you to rebox or not. So if you box your design and it's clear that it got back to the same dimensions as you started, we won't ask you to rebox again. If you have some arm still way hanging out, we'll ask you to either fold the arm back in or to rebox. Yes?
Any penalties for track damage?
Hang on to that. So the question was, are there penalties for track damage? Yeah, hang on to that question for just a second. If you box and then make some kind of adjustments, hey, I forgot to plug in a wire. I forgot to plug in the power to my controller, actually. After you boxed, you can make that change. You're going to have to box it again. Okay. So really the final thing you do before the device, final steps before your device begins competing is box it, get it set up in the right position as a rigid body, then step away. You can't make any changes after you've boxed. And again, if you're even just reaching inside your device, we may ask you to rebox. If we're not able to tell whether you made a substantive change or not. A few more details. And this addresses that point. Your device cannot use energy other than from gravity or the components of your kit. Right? So you can't have spring stored potential energy from spring. Okay? That includes beams that you might curl up yourself, not just an explicit spring. That's stored potential elastic energy in a beam that's curved up and coiled.
Could you wind up with like compress a spring related, like using the electric energy, could you compress a spring to operate something?
That's a good question. So he says, hey, if I use the energy from the kit to store some energy in a spring to retrieve it sometime later, that's fine. You can't start with stored potential because the energy that you put into that spring came from the kit. It wasn't stored prior to the start of the contest. Okay. You can't intentionally damage other machines. We've talked about that point already. You can't all damage the competition track or the components. Okay. So in the process of trying to intentionally damage some other machine, you drop your sledgehammer and put a big crack in our track. That's not good. If you break our carrots, that's not good. Damage our roses, that's not good. Okay? So you can't damage competition pieces either. Finally, your device has to operate during each trial for at most 30 seconds. Okay? So you have 30 seconds to do all the things we talked about in each run. Okay? That's usually way more than enough time. The way our track operates, you'll be able to sense when this time is ending as well. Right? So when we push the button to start the trial that you have to sense, we actually keep that button pressed for the whole 30 seconds and then open it at 30. So you could sense that time's up and I stop. That's one way to do it. Okay. If you keep operating, that's bad. Okay. So there's some machines, things your machine can't do. There are also a few things you can't do during the contest. Right? You can't enter our competition arena during the track, during a match. In fact, at the final competition, we'll have an area roped off that you have to stay out of. Okay, once you box your machine, get it in place, you have to back out. We'll have it taped off on the ground, behind the line, hands off. Okay. So probably if that's true, this is also true. You can't interfere with your machine in some way during the match. Okay, so you can't run in and try to save your device or whatever. Okay. We're also going to not allow you guys to use foul language in the match. Right? We have a pretty diverse audience that comes to this contest. Right? We were stressing this class about being professional engineers. Right? So we need to watch our language as well. So if your device does any of those things or you do any of these things, you get disqualified for that round of competition. Questions about those? Okay. Pretty straightforward. Yeah, quick, oh, sorry.
The top slide at the bottom said...
Whoops. Size requirements, even more details.
It says that the machine cannot operate for more than 30 seconds, but we have to operate more than that, right?
30 seconds per trial. At most 30 seconds. Yeah. Other questions? Okay, a few more details, and this is actually a big detail in the scheme of things, that your machine should be made robust to minor deviations in the Kentucky Derby grounds. Okay. So we'll have a track set up downstairs for your testing and practicing. Okay. We take that track apart, take it over to the Black Oak Coliseum, and put it back together. Okay. We try to get them exactly as close as we can to the same, right? To the best of our ability, but they are not the same down to the millimeter even probably in some places. Okay. So your device should be robust to minor deviations in the track. We'll do our best to make them as close to the same as we can, but just know they're just naturally going to be a little bit different. Luckily, you have an entire host of sensors as part of your kit and you're going to learn how to use that can help you accommodate varying environmental conditions. Right, so rather than rely on timing for how far something needs to go, you have a number of sensors that you can get distance information from. It'll allow you to compensate for those differences. So that's kind of a big one. There are many, many rules and details in the PDF version of the competition rules. Read those. Those are a fairly explicit list of customer requirements for this design process. You should know those front to back. Okay. Questions about the contest itself? Yes, sir.
Does the start zone have like a back wall? I saw in the video they had one on one side and one on the other side.
So the question was, does the start zone have a back wall? It does not. What you probably saw was a box that was in the way.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. That's a good question. So will you know what color zone you're going to be in? With very limited advanced timing of that, yeah. So we'll hold the zone you're going to be on until kind of the last minute. So that's part of this point is even on one track, one zone is going to be a little bit different than another one. Right. And again, we try to make them as close as we can to the same, but there is some variation. So you need to make sure you work on all four zones, basically. Yes, sir?
You said there was 7 revised points for the final?
It's 8 for the final.
8 for the final, and yeah. There's 5 for the presentation?
Yeah, 5 for the presentation.
You also said there was 3 and 1 for the other 2 things?
So it's 15 robot performance points plus 5 design points.
Okay.
And if you look in the handout, speaking of the handout, there's details on how those points are assigned as well. And you'll see it's fairly favorable to you guys for just making an effort in a lot of cases. The question is about the contest itself. Okay. So we'll talk in the last couple minutes here and then let you maybe talk to your teams a bit. As you might expect, there's also some design part of this we need to hear from you about and some reporting on this. Right? So there's some intermediate reports. The problem understanding report, there's just the problem understanding part of the process. It's due March 15th, Friday, in presentation like you did for ARLIS. Okay? So that's house of quality, spec sheet, function tree, and some discussion of those tools effectively. Okay? And again, if you're doing the design process the way we've been working on, you should have those tools developed already. Right? You should be working on them already. Okay? Notice that this is the Friday before the individual contest. And that's intentional on our part to try to force you into using these tools and help your design by using the tools. We have a second intermediate report, this concept evaluation and selection. So that still includes a little bit of problem understanding work and then development of your alternative designs and selection, evaluation and selection of what you're going to use for the final contest. Okay, that's on April 5th. And you notice that that's the Friday before the qualifying contest. So again, if you're doing your job and doing the design process in the right way, you should have those tools done already. We're working through those already. Just have to write up the explanation of it. Okay. And again, that the dates on these are intentional. Okay. And I think this is, I don't teach this design process just for the heck of it. I do believe it works. It's a nice way to design products. But also, if you're following this process with the end goal of the final contest in mind, this becomes a lot less extra work. Right? If you build a design, a new design, every contest, and then wait until the Thursday before this report is due to actually think about any of the design tools, then yeah, that's a pretty stressful way to go through this class. Right? If you're building up from now, right? I mean, it's a month off, right? Almost. Right? Building up from now and working on it consistently, this is a lot less stressful. So that's one big piece of advice moving through the rest of this class, is have that end goal in mind. We talked about a Gantt chart, right? So plan out when things need to get done, right? Work through the design tools. That's the way, the least stressful way to get through the rest of the semester in terms of the design. And then, of course, you have a final report and presentation that come after the final contest. And you see the points, the grade point scoring for these. These are both during finals week. And then together, come together to be 25% of your grade, which is just like a kind of final exam amount of points, effectively. So you'll notice that these reports together are worth a lot more than the robot performance in terms of your grade. Right? So kind of keep that in mind. Okay, questions? Oh, sorry.
Are these presentations like the one we did for?
Presentations are Vimeo presentations, right? We don't have enough class time available to get through 17 presentations. So these are video presentations, just like the ARLIS one. Yes?
For the, I don't remember exactly what you call them, but the intermediate, you know, the first mechanical one and then the second one.
Yep. No,
the
two reports, and these two reports, these kind of call intermediate reports, these are still are building towards the final discussion, final design. So you're not reporting just, you're never reporting just on the individual contest or just on the preliminary contest. Right. And that's intentional as well, right? Because that's how you should be going through this process, is understanding what the final idea needs to be, what my customer is requiring for that final competition, and then the individual contest is kind of a subsystem testing milestone. And the preliminary contest is kind of a subsystem testing milestone that can help you refine your house of quality and specs and that kind of thing. Yeah.
So we build one final design, but we should have three fleshed out, like kind of fully.
Yes. So just that final report is kind of the same content as your ARLIS report, plus one additional section we'll have about evaluating your performance effectively. Other questions? Okay. So I think this may seem like a lot to you, but it's the entire second half of the semester, right? This is really all we're working on from here on out. Okay. We have class work days like we've had for ARLIS. You look at our schedule, right, on the class, there's numerous final project work days throughout the coming up as well. So we're going to do whatever we want you to do a really good job on all of this. We're going to do our best to help you do that. And I think you'll find it's a pretty fun process. Okay? Anything you'd like to add? It's good. All right. So I posted, as I mentioned, I posted before. Hang on a second, guys, please. I posted before class today the teams for this final project. It should be a different team. Should be on teams of different people than any of the three prior projects. If I did my job right. So you can take that look. We have some time left today, right? And get with your team, at least introduce yourself, start maybe exchanging some information about getting rolling on this. All right? And then I'll post these slides, the audio, the full PDF of the rules will go up. There are additional, hold on guys. There are also additional handouts with more details on each of these reports with the suggested outlines, like we've done for every other report. Okay. There will be posted to the class page an FAQ for the contest. Right. So if I get questions from really more than one of you that are similar, I'll put that question on the FAQ. So as the semester progresses, we're going to push you to really start checking those things and understanding the contest for yourself. Right. We're going to get a little bit annoyed. I get annoyed. I don't think Ms. Hodge does. If when a qualifying contest comes around, you're asking us what the rules are, right? You got to know them by that point in time, right? If there's clarification, that's one thing. But if something is explicitly spelled out in the packet of rules, we're going to expect you guys to know that, right? And I think that's reflective of what a customer might do to you if you're 6 months into a project with them and asking them questions you should have asked on day one. All right, so again, on Thursday, we're going to discuss the high-level programming. You don't need to bring your kits. We'll discuss on Thursday also the things you need to download and get installed so that we can start when we get back from Mardi Gras on the programming stuff.